Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Thursday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Christian Garrick here with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. If you haven't heard, Carnival, the parade scheduled to roll tonight have been canceled. The full details are online for you at WWL.com. Our Blue Runner Gumbo, our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you like the NFL's expansion of the postseason from 12 to 14 teams? Seven teams in each conference would make the playoffs. If that were in place in 2019, the 8-8 Pittsburgh Steelers would have made the postseason as the seventh seed in the AFC. And the 9-7 LA Rams would have made the postseason as the seventh seed in the NFC, the third best team in their division. Do you like the new playoff format that could be instituted as early as 2020? Just the first seed under this proposed format would get a first round bye. So it makes the two seed virtually obsolete. You get to host. Three seed, you get to host. There's some pros and cons to this. It could be implemented as early as 2020, like I said. But the league only has 32 teams. 14, nearly half the teams in the league would basically make the postseason. Now, the NFL wants this for a number of reasons. Because more playoff games, more money, more network coverage, more money, more fans spending money at the games, etc. They also like it because even out of those seven teams in each conference, you're going to have nine in each conference that are ultimately going to be in play for that seventh spot in each conference. So that's more than half the teams in the league that'll be in quote-unquote playoff contention. That's what the NFL wants. They want the illusion of parity. They'll get that with this seven-team proposed format in the postseason. I just think that okay, like on Wild Card Weekend, there's going to be six games on Wild Card Weekend. Six. Now, I know we're addicted to football, and I guarantee you most of us, if not all of us, will sit down and watch all six games on Wild Card Weekend. All six of them. But the NFL doesn't want to leave any meat on the bone. They know that there's money to be had by showing these games on TV. The network deals increase. Their profit margins increase. This is going to work whether we like it or not. It's going to work because a vast majority of us will sit down and watch these games and pay attention to these games. Sign me up to watch more NFL playoff football. I don't care if it's an 8-8 team. I don't care. If it's an 8-8 team facing a 12-4 team, fine. I'll watch it. It's the postseason. It's the NFL. They don't make mistakes like this. They don't do things like this if they haven't already done case studies and find out if the market is there for it. It's certainly there. That's why they wouldn't be doing it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it, I should say. This has all got to be hammered out in the new collective bargaining agreement, but it could be implemented as early as this year, this coming football season. Do you like the NFL's expansion of the postseason from 12 teams to 14? It used to be six in each conference. Now it's seven in each conference. And oh, by the way, this is the way the owners are going to be able to ultimately say, hey, to the players, we're going to expand your opportunity to make the postseason. We want a 17-game schedule and a three-game preseason schedule. See the give and take there from the owners? That's what they're going to do to the players. Hey, we're going to increase your opportunity to play in the postseason, which you get a bonus check for, you get a postseason check for, and we get a 17-game regular season. And oh, by the way, you're adding ultimately another playoff game, so that in fact really kind of makes up for the proposed 18-game regular season schedule that the owners wanted. So they feel like a 17-game regular season schedule is more palatable to the players, but in fact, they're backdooring it by getting an extra postseason game. in essence, an 18th regular season game. If you think about it, if you want to boil it down to it. Coming up on the program, our Pelicans Primer with Mark Menard at 4:35. Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, joins us at 5:35. And, of course, Ross Tucker Insider Calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great special flavors. Today at 5:35, we'll be joined by Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker with a look at this weekend's AFC North rivalry game. Ross is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. If you missed Saints head coach Sean Payton yesterday on Sports Talk, you'll hear clips from that and my takeaways from what he said in a 35-minute interview he did with me and Bobby yesterday. Talking a little Pelicans basketball in the 7 o'clock hour, Ollie Cosell, editor-in-chief of thebirdwrites.com, will join us as the Pelicans return from the All-Star break tomorrow night in Portland. Want to hear from you, though. Got plenty of room for you. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you like the NFL's expansion of the postseason from 12 to 14 teams? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call me at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Just getting started here on Sports Talk on WWL. The NFL wants to expand the postseason from 7 in each conference, total of 14 in the NFL. Do you like it? The one seed would be the only team, the only seeds to get a bye. Two would play 7, 3, 6, 4, 5 in each conference. 6 games on wild card weekend. More football for you to consume. But then again, it takes away from a 2 seed being a division winner. And heck, maybe you even got the same record as the 1 seed. And you're a 2 seed that's playing the 7 seed on wild card weekend. Maybe it makes that 1 seed just that much more coveted. Maybe that's what the NFL wants, is teams will have a harder time resting some of their starters late in the season because they're trying to secure that coveted 1 seed that gets you the bye. Only 2 teams in the playoffs out of the 14 will have bye weeks. Plenty of pros and cons here. You tell me, do you like it? Do you like the NFL's expansion of the postseason from 12 to 14 teams? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Getting back to LSU baseball, they dropped their second game of the season last night. Nichols, I know Mark's pumped about that. Nichols taking down the Tigers 4-2. Go Colonels. It's an LSU team that, look, we have this conversation all the time about midweek losses. They're not as big as SEC series wins, etc. Glenn and Gentilly, what's going on, Glenn? You're on WWL. Hey, Glenn.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to expand the playoffs, because just think about it. For most teams, almost probably what three-fourths of the teams, the last one or two games of the season don't even matter anyway, right? And if you expand the playoffs, those games are going to have those, you know, we'll have more meaningful games even during the regular season.
You got it.
Because there's more
parity, more parity, yeah. More playoff implications. It makes the regular season games, especially the final 2 to 3, carry that much more weight.
Yeah, I'm driving down St. Charles. Looks like everybody's packing up their stuff.
Yeah, the parades have been canceled tonight.
Parades have been canceled. Yeah, that's too bad. I was dying to go to Knicks last night and didn't make it.
Unfortunate tragedy there.
I mean, there's lots of parades. I can go to other parades.
No, I'm talking about what happened last night at Knicks.
Oh, I don't know anything about it. I was working all night.
Well, I would just tell you, because it's sensitive for me, or just sensitive in general, I would just say check it out online at WWL.com, the story about a woman that was trapped underneath a float.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, maybe, yeah. I won't go. All right, thank you.
Glenn, thanks for the phone call. Saints head coach Sean Payton sat down with me and the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on Sports Talk. Here is Coach Payton talking about really kind of messing with Bobby Hebert. He rode Saturday in the Mad Hatters and bellyached all day long about how sore he was, and I asked Sean Payton's advice for how to handle an aging quarterback.
Well, I think it's safe to say their lifestyles are entirely opposite.
They are entirely opposite. All right, so here's Peyton talking about parades and being in shape to look at parades.
I tell you what, I look at a parade and get sore.
Yeah, not too inconceivable when you consider if you've thrown, if you've been in parades, if you're out there chucking, that right or left arm, elbow, wrist might be a little shoulder, might be a little sore. We're gonna skip to four here, Logan. The bottom line is Peyton's glad to have Drew Brees back.
Look, I'm excited because I know exactly how he played last year, and he's playing at an elite level still.
And that's not no longer Bobby saying that or me saying that or Zach Street for Deuce. For those that have been calling here for the better part of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, saying that Drew is washed up, he should retire, he's done. This is his head coach. And I know some of you are going to twist it and say, well, he a little nepotism or he can't see it because he's next to him every day. Look, this is after the hindsight of being able to go back and review the tape, and you can see it much more clearly on tape if somebody has declined or not. And I trust Sean Payton and his evaluation of Drew Brees. If he says he's still playing at an elite level, I certainly trust him to tell me that. I don't think he would say, he's not playing at an elite level. They wouldn't have made the effort to retain Drew. They would have allowed Drew to entertain other options. They would not have ultimately texted him. Here is Payton. The only thing that he told Drew Brees.
And the one text I said to him, you know, there's 500,000 people that are as talented as you in the business world. And I think Drew's extremely talented that way. You know, there might be 10 people as talented as you if you want to get into TV. All right. And then probably two or three if you want to play quarterback in the world.
Two or three if you want to play quarterback in the world. Again, that's not Bobby saying that, Zach, Deuce, or me. That's his head coach, who I think is very well respected. I think most of us that are not delusional would agree he's one of the more respected head coaches in the National Football League and knows talent, knows what he's looking at. Here's Sean Payton on what Brees' contract might look like.
I would say this to both Drew and Mickey. You know, here we are however many years, and every time that subject has come up, and it's come up a number of times, in other words, where they're working on a contract, they always seem to get it done in an efficient manner. And I think that won't be any different this time around.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Pretty easy one to work out. I mean, Brees and Loomis have done, what, 3 to 4 contracts in his time here? I think the last one that he signed, he pretty much did it on his own. Tom Condon's his agent from California Arts, but it's so simple. It's like, hey, 1 year, $23, $25 million. The market value is about $35. He's willing to take probably a little bit less money because it assures the Saints the ability to go out and sign a free agent here or there that'll help them make another run at that Super Bowl title. I think this is the point in Brees' career where he can go, all right, I'll take less money, far less than market value. I'm 41 years old for another opportunity to win a Lombardi. Now, I think that's smart. We'll get back to Peyton's comments yesterday, in particular on the plans for Taysom Hill and what is Taysom Hill's value. Scott and Luling, what's going on, Scott? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on, Christian?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, Christian?
Well, thank you.
Hey, so, I mean, this playoff structure, man, I'm totally against it. And of course, the NFL wants money. I get it. But all you're doing is you're just rewarding the losers. You know, if you can't take care of business during a regular season, then you don't have any business in the postseason. And the last thing I want, especially as a Saints fan who felt the last year's loss of, against the Vikings, is having a 13-3 team, having to risk losing to a 9-17 just because you get hot at the right time.
Yeah, but I mean, if they get hot at the right time, don't you want to see that team like the Titans, for example, who got hot at the right time, ended up making as a 6 seed a run to the AFC Championship game, albeit a loss to the Kansas City Chiefs? I think that's intriguing to me. I find that as a fan of football, a fan of the NFL, that gets me to watch. That allowed me to become ultimately a pseudo Titans fan to a degree. Like, hey, I'm pulling for the underdog.
Yeah, I understand, Christian, but here's the thing. You remember what happened in 2010 when we went up to Seattle. We were 9-7. We were 13. I think we were 13-3.
No, they were not 13-3. They were 11-5.
Okay. Still, you know, Seattle, they had a squeak into the playoffs. They won that division. It was a weak division at the time.
Yeah, and Scott, I think you're talking about, now you're talking about a totally different thing, though. You're talking about how they're going to seed teams. Now, I would listen to that argument, Scott, and based on how you would seed teams based on record, because division winners, even though they're 8-8, they can host a team that's 11-5, as you just mentioned, that with Seattle being 7-9. Now, if you want to have a conversation about reseeding teams based on record, then I'd be all ears.
Right, but again, if a team that's going to be 9-7, 8, possibly 7-9, going up against what the number 3 seed. Somebody has to be like, 11-5, 12-4, 13-3. And, again, it's one of those things. The underdog, yeah. They get hot at the right time. They can take down a good team. But think of this, the Saints, man. Again, we were 13-3 last year. Vikings were 10-6. Our better record didn't mean anything. Vikings, they played a better game, obviously. But, I just, in the postseason, the best need to be worried about facing the best, and for somebody to come in the back and not take care of it.
But what if there's a scenario where the AFC or the NFC is so loaded top to bottom that 7 seed might be a 10-6 team, right? Would you say that most 10-6 teams, or even 9-7 teams, most of them deserve an opportunity to play in the postseason? If you have an above 500 record, I get what you're trying to say, which is, at 500 or below 500, but what if a team's at 9-7, 10-6? Shouldn't they be the 7 seed? Shouldn't they qualify to be in the postseason? They have that's a really good season, because you remember in 2006, the Saints were the 2 seed with a 10-6 record, and they made the NFC title game. So that knife kind of cuts both ways. Scott, I appreciate the phone call. Sean in Covington, what's going on, Sean? You're on WWL.
Hey, how's it going, Christian?
Good, thank you.
So I'm, this is going to sound goofy a little bit, but, of course, just my opinion. Number one, I'm more of a soccer fan than I am anything else. Of course, I follow my Saints, love my Saints, but for someone like me, I'm not saying that everybody else, feels the same way, but, it might sound kind of goofy when people say postseason, when you say different things, when you're talking about asking if it's like a 7 seed or something. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm a little confused by it. Can you kind of maybe explain within, a few words what this is actually going to be? Is it going to be good for the Saints or bad for the Saints? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, Sean, I don't know how, it's going to be based on record. I don't know that it benefits or hurts any one team year to year. The Saints, they could be 10-6 next year. They could be 14-2. If they're 14-2, I would like to believe that that's probably the number one seed. I don't know that this is going to impact any one team adversely every year.
Okay, and the last thing, like I said before, when you say like postseason, what do you mean by that? And again, I know it sounds good for me saying it, but I'm trying to understand it a little bit. What do you mean by postseason?
The playoffs.
Oh, okay. So when y'all call it postseason, but it's really just again, like I said, I'm a rookie when it comes to this stuff. So, I just watch the Saints. I don't really watch the extra, like you said. I heard you say, the wild card game. Instead of having 3 or 4 games, it'd be like 6. And I do agree with you. All it means is just more money for NFL and more money in Roger Goodell's pocket, which, no comment on him. But, that's a whole other story. But, all right, Christian, thank you for answering my question. I appreciate you, man.
Sean, don't be a stranger, man. Glad I could help you. Maybe you learned something today. All right, we'll step away and come back for Andrew. Andrew in Gulfport. Our Pelicans primer with Mark Menard next here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, joined now by our WWL's Mark Menard, Pelicans primer, brought to you by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. All-star break just about over, Mark, for the Pels. Back in action tomorrow. 27 games left to push for the postseason. So it's all or nothing in the second half.
Yeah, they've got a real shot here to push for the playoffs, and they're going to have to play well. They're going to have to play well, but they do get a lot of teams that have losing records coming up on the schedule. I think they only have 8 out of those 27 are against teams with winning records, so that means 19 games that should be very winnable for the Pelicans going forward. And look, they've got as good a shot as anybody of making it to the postseason.
Who's your guy that you feel like, aside from Zion, that has to either remain steady or has to step up in order for the Pelicans to make their postseason run?
I think it's Brandon Ingram. He's been steady all year long. We've seen him really emerge. We've seen him become an all-star, and I think he's got to keep it up. He's got to find his place in the offense now that Zion's there, and they've done a pretty good job so far in limited time together of figuring out how to play together. And that was always the big thing, is when Zion gets back, will Brandon Ingram's numbers go down? They haven't. His touches have gone down a little bit, but he's stayed consistent with his production, and that's what they need to continue to have, because you've got to have two guys in the NBA, especially if you're going to be a playoff team. One guy carrying a team ain't going to happen anymore. You have to have two stars, and they have two stars. You know, Brandon Ingram, now a newly minted All-Star. Zion Williamson might have made an All-Star if he had played the whole season and played the way he's playing now, but you know, probably going to be there next year. They've got the star power they need, albeit it is young, but now they've got to put those pieces together. And look, they're going to need the rest of the team to play well too. It can't just be the two of them. Lonzo Ball's made great strides this year. They need to have him continue to play well. They need to limit the turnovers. That's what they really need to work on is, you know, lately they've been throwing the ball away at a terrible rate, and a lot of them are unforced errors, and they need to fix that. Coach Alvin Gentry touched on it today when he spoke to the media. He said, you know, they have raised their game when it comes to offensive rebounds. That was an area where they're deficient. Now they're ranked sixth in the league. So, you know, injecting Zion Williamson into the equation has helped that a lot, because he tends to get all of his own misses. But, you know, the offensive rebounds have gotten better. Now they've really just got to, you know, drill down on the turnovers and really fix that issue.
Off the Pelicans for a minute, the NFL is considering or at least trying to expand their postseason, their playoff format from 6 in each conference, 12 total, to 7 in each conference, 14 total. Do you like that decision to improve the or add to the playoff format?
Yeah, you know, it just feels like, if not every year, then every other year, there's always one team that seems to get left out that's deserving. And, you know, I don't know about adding two teams, but I think adding one is not a bad idea.
Well, it's now, one each conference.
But that's what I mean. Like, you know, I don't know if there's enough to say half the league makes the playoffs, like in the NBA. But I think if you add one, you know, you'll probably, you know, you might end up with a little bit of a dud every now and then. Like this year in the AFC, you had a bunch of teams that were kind of sitting at 8-8, and a bunch of them could have made the playoffs, and it turned out to be Tennessee was the one that got in. And, you know, would we have benefited if the Pittsburgh Steelers had made the playoffs in kind of a down year? I don't know, but, you know, I think competition is good always. And a lot of times you have a team that's maybe sitting at 10-6 and they're on the outside looking in. So this should fix that problem, as long as there's just one team left out. Look, there's always going to be a team that feels like they should have gotten in, but I don't mind adding one team. It makes that first round bye even more valuable, because only one team's going to get it. And that's going to make things a little more interesting as well. So, look, I'm for it. Let's get as many people at the table as we can, because remember, that also keeps two more NFL cities in the mix for another week in the NFL playoffs. You know, where you know the NFL can get those TV revenues, get that money rolling in. I'm sure that's what they're looking at.
First and foremost, look, do I want the Saints in it? Sure, but I love NFL football, and if I can watch 6 NFL games, playoff games on Wild Card Weekend, sign me up. I'm in.
Well, and then you can stick to the regular Saturday-Sunday format, noon, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Just Saturday, noon, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Sunday, noon, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and just have it like a normal NFL weekend.
Back to the Pelicans All-Star break. They got Portland tomorrow. Let's talk about that matchup. They've kind of had their number.
They have, and they've had their number for a few years now. But this year, you know, they've beaten them all 3 times they've played them. So if there's a definition of having their number, that's got to be it. You know, you win every time you play. It's sort of the flip side of their matchup with Golden State, where even though the Warriors have been terrible this year, the Pelicans still can't seem to get over the top on those guys. But Portland they've beaten Portland pretty heavily here, pretty steadily here for the last few years, and they've beaten them all 3 times this season. They're going for the season sweep tomorrow night. I don't see any reason why they don't get it. They just look like a better team matchup-wise than the Trailblazers every time they play them. And I don't see why that should change tomorrow night.
Mark, anything else I didn't ask you that you want to add before I let you run in?
Well, you know, they're on their Mardi Gras road trip right now. So the Trailblazers tomorrow night, then Sunday they go play those Golden State Warriors in San Francisco, and we'll see if they can finally get a win over the Warriors, a team that's been decimated by injuries this year, but the Pelicans still haven't managed to get one on. And then after that, Mardi Gras night, Tuesday, February 25th, in Los Angeles against the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You know, maybe take a break from your revelry for a little bit. Come inside.
Well, it'll be over by then. Mardi Gras will be pretty much, oh, in other words, like the parades at least will be over.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you're ending your night, end it with the Pelicans. It's going to be a nationally televised game on TNT, a 9 p.m. tip-off here locally. You can definitely go and get your Mardi Gras party on and then come in, watch the Pelicans against the Lakers. They've come close to beating them both times they played them this year, and now they're going to play them twice in three games. They're going to play them on Tuesday over there, then they come back home, and they're going to play them two games later right here in New Orleans, where Anthony Davis will once again come back to the Big Easy. And, you know, but the point is, they came close to beating them both times, and neither time did they have Zion Williamson in the lineup. So this could be a different ball game with the Pelicans and the Lakers this time around.
That's a wrap for Pelicans Primer with WWL's Mark Menard, brought to you by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Great job as always, Mark. Thanks.
Thank you.
Andrew in Gulfport. What's going on, Andrew? You're on WWL.
Yeah, Christian, I just wanted to say I'm with you on the new format. Give me seven games or seven teams from each conference. And I just wanted to put back, you were talking 10-6. What about those Saints teams in the 90s? In late 80s that were competing with the San Francisco 49ers. How many times was it that we had a great record, arguably second best team in the NFC, and didn't make the playoffs?
Well, now they made the playoffs. There were times where they were not the division winners.
Okay, I thought there was a year that they had like a 10 record, didn't make the playoffs.
There was a year that they didn't win the division. I have to go back and look, but I think that they were that year, if they didn't make the playoffs, I think they were 9-7. I don't think they were 10 and they never had 10 wins and didn't make the postseason. Now, the Patriots, has happened to them before where they were a 10-win team and did not make the postseason. This was in the early 2000s.
Okay. Well, I'm with you on that, and I'm glad to see Drew Brees coming back to the Saints.
All right, Andrew, thanks for the phone call. Let's get back to Saints head coach Sean Payton and his comments yesterday on Sports Talk here with me and Bobby Hebert. He talked about the plans for Taysom Hill. He's scheduled to become a restricted free agent. Here is Coach Payton.
There's two ways to go about it. Number one, we can sign him to a deal before the league year starts, and you never get to that point. I think if he was unsigned prior to the league year, I would anticipate us really paying close attention to that and looking at that first round tender. Now, I think that'll take some time relative to his contract because it's unique, A, in what he's doing now and what we feel like he can be and what he can do, you know, when Drew does retire. So that will probably take a little bit more work than the contract that Mickey does with Drew. So, but for the fan that's listening, the club that has the RFA player, restricted free agent, or for that matter, the free agent, you know, the one club they can negotiate with prior to the start of the league year is the club that they're just finished playing with.
Peyton's kind of telling you a couple things here. One, that is, maybe they're thinking about the idea of not even letting Taysom Hill get to a restricted free agent status to where another team can potentially offer him, sign him to an offer sheet, and you might lose him because you don't want to match that because it was more than what you were willing to pay. And plus, it's unique, and how you're going to assess his value. So maybe you don't even let it get to that level where he's a restricted free agent and he gets signed to an offer sheet. And if he's your heir apparent, if you know that he's your guy post Drew Brees, then you go ahead and just sign him right now. I could see that. Yeah, you give up some leverage, but you don't want to run the risk that you lose your franchise quarterback to an offer sheet you can't match and you only get a first-round pick for it. All right, we've had this conversation a lot, right, about what would it take for the Saints to move up from number 24 all the way to number 1 to get Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals? Well, here's Coach Payton talking about that very fact, what it would take.
Listen, I'll go get fitted for a wedding dress.
There, if you remember, during the Ricky Williams, Mike Ditka crazy trade, Ricky Williams was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a wedding dress. That's what he's kind of basically saying, is it's almost impossible. Wouldn't happen. Payton goes on to say the Bengals should stay with Joe Burrow. Obviously, he should be maybe the number one pick or certainly a top pick.
Man, how do you avoid having another bad year? Well, a first step is finding a guy like Joe that can play and play at the level he's capable of playing at. So, you know, just following during the season and watching the success they've had, and then now going through the first draft board meeting, you're able to see the tape. There's going to be a number of those players
playing throughout the league, and certainly he's going to be one of them. So, but he's going to be a guy that I'm sure a lot of teams will have at the top of their board, certainly at the top of their quarterback board.
That was Saints head coach Sean Payton on LSU quarterback Joe Burrow. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, rehashing the conversation we had yesterday with Saints head coach Sean Payton. And this is one that I think fans are going to want to pay close attention to. It's a longer bite. And what have we always talked about on this show? Consistency amongst referees. Here's Coach Payton on that very subject.
Man, how do you avoid having another bad year? Well, a first step is finding a guy like Joe that can play and play at the level he's capable of playing at. So, you know, just following during the season and watching the success they've had, and then now going through the first draft board meeting, you're able to see the tape. There's going to be a number of those players playing throughout the league, and certainly he's going to be one of them. So, he's going to be a guy that I'm sure a lot of teams will have at the top of their board, certainly at the top of their quarterback board.
We just wanted to show Joe Burrow a little bit more love before we got to number 11. No big deal. Here is Payton on, are we asking referees to do too much?
You know, the thing that you hear coach to coach and at the league office and even amongst the officials, and these guys are busting their tail to do a great job for us, is the consistency and the consistency also relative to replay in New York. So that'll be a challenge for us as a league heading forward. I felt like our meetings, you know, a week and a half ago in New York were very productive. I think that I think there's still a lot of work to be done. And look, everyone's wanting the same result. Now it's really, you know, rolling up the sleeves and figuring out how do we do this better than a year before and better than, you know, maybe the last 5 years. How do we improve just like we try to do as teams? I think the officiating group in general wants to do the same thing. And that's really, you know, part of it is, hey, you know, when you're struggling on offense or defense or as a team, sometimes you look at, hey, are we asking the players to do too much? And I think we're asking a lot of those officials. You know, in other words, as the rules have changed and also the hit on defenseless players and, the improper use of a helmet, there's so many different variations now that they're being tasked with on game day. You know, how do we reduce a little bit of what's on their plate to help them with more consistency and to help them do their jobs better? That's really our jobs to begin with. So I know how the committee feels, and I know how the league office feels, and everyone that's involved in the process of improving just as we would with our teams.
That's what they want in the competition committee, is ultimately get consistency, improve consistency. Cause I think Peyton's right there. And that is that, you know, they always ask, are we asking the players to do too much? And I think we've talked about it before where, man, in an effort to make this game safer, they've made it harder to officiate. Sean Payton talking about winning in the trenches, it won't change along the offensive and defensive lines.
Bobby, as long as we're playing tackle football, that's going to hold true.
Won't change. It's the one constant with the NFL and tackle football in general. You win up front at just about every level. You win in offensive and defensive lines, you're pretty much going to win consistently and win the games. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you like the NFL's expansion for postseason from 12 to 14 teams? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call me at 504-260-1870. 7 teams from each conference. Only one team in each conference would get the playoff bye. The one seed gets a bye. Everybody else, 6 games on wild card weekend. Do you like it or not? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.